You know, sometimes you did it to be seen, you did it to be applauded, you did it to be stroked, you did it to be liked. And pride was all about puffing yourself up. Opposer is all about pride. They say, God, I got this. I got this. I don't need your word. I don't need it. Thanks for salvation. That's a good thing. But that's opposer. Opposer thinks he's got salvation, but he's a poser. He's all about pride. I got this. A pilgrim is somebody who says, I got nothing. Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of things will be solved at your core if you'll go to your heart and ask yourself, where am I in the continuum? Now, like I said at the outset, sanctification is not about perfection. It's about progress. It doesn't mean you're going to go struggle with the, I got this. But it does mean you're going to come quickly around the bend and say, you know what, I got nothing. A pilgrim's making progress. And it's a path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's given me a purpose for my life. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He not only has a place, paths of righteousness, a purpose for his name's sake, but he has presence with him. And this is where many people don't understand how it works. They think it's wooden, and it's wooden because they've never engaged the Lord. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I'll do that. He says, he that keeps my words, he says, he's the one that loves me. The one who keeps my word, he's the one that loves me. And I will come and I will manifest myself to that person. I don't ever see him. I don't ever see him. That's not God's problem. He really, really is looking. You ever seen that game, Duck, Duck, Goose? We had some kids in our neighborhood. Came up, knocked on the door. Linda, can you come out and play with us? He goes out and play, and I'm watching her. I got the video camera because this was too good to miss. They're out there and they got this silly game, and I've never seen it before. And they're doing a little jig. And Linda, she says, "I got to get another woman in here with me." So she got the mom of the daughter. Hey, come on out, play, Rhonda. Rhonda's like, so they're out there playing this little game. But when they were waiting for the mom to get out there, they had this little game going. God, duck, duck, goose. And you know what God's doing? He's walking around our midst right now, and he's tapping each one of us. And he's trying to say to you, will you chase me? Will you chase me? Because if you'll chase me, you'll be in for the ride of your life. Well, I don't want that. I want calm, cool, and collected. There's no such thing. No such thing. The kids change. The house breaks. The cars break. Wrecks happen. People get sick. There's no such thing as calm. About the time you think you got everything in order, guess what? Something goes crazy. It's never static, and God sees to it. He's constantly keeping us off balance, so we'll know that he's the only one who can hold us up. He wants us to know that. And he wants us to chase him, and he says, thou art with me. David had learned, thou art with me. Do you know he's with you? Really? Every day? Every day? Because he's there. His name, Jehovah, means existing one, present one, existing present one. When you meditate upon his name, you'll understand he's right there watching and seeing everything you do. Well, what you're seeing in this passage is that David had learned about redemption. He put me in the game. He redeemed me out of this marketplace of sin. He put me in the paths of righteousness. And then in verse 5, he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table. Notice this. This doesn't have anything to do with sheep anymore. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Pretty cool. Because what that means is he delights in you. Really? Me? Yeah, you. Just like a man delights in his bride. I was watching. I got all these pictures, and I had all these tons of pictures. Everybody's got these pictures. This digital age is killing me, okay? If I had to pay for this, I wouldn't have all these pictures. I got a ton of pictures. I just kind of scanned them all, or I just kind of swooped the cursor over them. I put them on a thing, and I made a little show, and I put some music. It took 5 minutes. Just took everything I had, put it on there. I began to watch it the other day. It's an hour and 45 minutes. I didn't get through it, man. It was like killing me. It's like all kinds of, it's like watching my life pass before my eyes. My kids, younger, older, smiling, laughing, my wife. Which is where I'm going with this. See my wife in there. And I can tell you today, I delight in her today like I delighted in her when I married her. And I want you to know something. Jesus delights in you like that. far, far more than I delight in my wife, certainly. But he's preparing the table. Did you hear that? Thou, God, prepares the table. You're preparing the table. Do you know when my wife and I were dating, I was scared to death she was going to change her mind. So I said, I'm going to make her a dinner. And I made the dinner. It is a red letter day in history. I made the dinner. I even made a cake, of which one eggshell got caught in the cake, and it was the piece she got. You know what Jesus does? He prepares a table before you. He's preparing for you because he delights in you. Think Song of Solomon. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you more than you could possibly know, and he's doing everything he can to win your affection. And you're just kind of busy looking at this and busy looking at that. We were playing a little game at the house the other day. It was Ryan and his girlfriend and me and my wife, my girlfriend. And we're playing this game. And they can think of 15 things at once. Women are like that. Guys can't. We're like, what? Don't talk to me. I'm focused here. But they're thinking. But somebody mentioned chocolate. Linda said, would you like some chocolate? I kid you not. Both women phased completely out. Chocolate filled five compartments in their mind. They couldn't think of the game. We lost them for a good 3 or 4 minutes. They were gone. It's chocolate. So if you ever want to distract, you know, here, honey, have a piece of chocolate. You get a present in for their birthday or something. Give them some chocolate. What I'm saying, he loves us like that. And we're distractible like that. But he knows what you need, and you just need to rest in that. And what I want you to see in this verse is he says, you prepare a table before me. Not only does he do that, in the fact that he delights in me like a man delights in his girlfriend as in his early days of his young love, but also he dignifies me. He does it in the presence of mine enemies. I live in enemy territory down here. The Bible says the world hates you. If you were of the world, it would love you. But if you're his child, he says, it hated me, it's going to hate you. You're among the enemy. The world hates you. But worse than that, what you don't see is that the demonic hosts, the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, guess what? They hate you too. But the Bible says we're seated far above all those with Christ in the heavenly places right now. I got a table prepared for me, and the devil wants to mess with me. And every now and then I give the Lord reason to let him mess with me because maybe I'm not as obedient as I need to be. So he lets him nip me a little bit. But the fact is, he can't touch me because I am in Christ, and Christ vanquished him. The Bible says the Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Well, we like the works of the devil, don't we? So he's not nipping. But you take a Mel Gibson, I remember referenced him last week. He's in the news everywhere because this guy's blowing gaskets. Why? Because he thought he was so cool and so spiritual. He thought he'd make a movie. And it was a good movie about Christ's crucifixion. And it brought home some of the gravity of the moment. And it was some things people went think, I don't know if I can watch this or not. They knew what they were in for because this is a new day. They can bring it right up close, right in your face. But he did it in a decidedly Romanesque kind of way, and he himself knows not God. It's obvious from his disposition and his choices. Then what's happening to him? Self-destructing like the sons of Sceva. But the devil can't touch the believer. The Bible says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. But he that keepeth himself in Christ, the Bible says the wicked one toucheth him not. I like that. I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall harm you. He says he prepares me a table in the presence of my enemies. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. You've heard about feet washing, right? The servant, the lowliest servant in the room has to wash the feet of people coming into the inner chambers. Well, Jesus was the one on the night of his crucifixion who got up from the table and girded himself, went over, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, right? That was lowly. But what you may not know is the other end of that continuum is the person you want to honor is the person that the host will himself rise up and walk over and anoint. And guess what he does? He anoints us. Thou anointest my head with oil. And then it says, my cup runneth over. It's like an exclamation. What can I say? I got nothing left to say. I mean, you've done it all. Have you ever seen a portrayal of somebody who had a big, huge bag of cash? It's usually a bank robber, but let's put it in the view of somebody who won a big inheritance, got tons of money, a big bag of cash. They throw it on the bed and they roll around it and they're throwing it up, right? That's what he's saying. I've got it all. When you come to this table, I want you to know He wants you to rest. I want you to know He wants to put you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because He's got a purpose for you and He will be present with you. And I want you to know that He delights in you. That you mean so much to Him that He let His Son die for you. And when you look at the elements, you will remember that there is rejoicing to be had, and you'll be rolling around in the bounty of it all. We've talked about the idea of an embarrassment of riches. Man, if you've ever been in a scenario where you've had an embarrassment of riches, it's being a believer. We got it all. Finally, I want you to see in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And it is here in these two words, goodness and mercy, that we see our connection really with the Lord's Supper. Because the bread, as it were, is the first element that we address when we come to the table. And the bread represents for you and me the broken body. He says, this is my body which is broken for you. Nobody took his life from him. He says, I lay it down for you. He took bread. He broke it. He knew he had to choose this. If you were going to be saved and if I was going to be saved, it was because he was going to intervene. There was no other way. And so when you look at the bread, I want you to understand that bread is a picture of a pain and a brokenness. I mean, if you even think about it, it takes a grain of wheat, it has to go into the ground, it has to die. That grain of wheat has to then yield more wheat, and then they have to take that wheat and they have to crush it up. And then they have to kind of mix it with stuff, and they got to put it in a fire and turn it into bread. It's all about it. And when you take the elements today, I want you to remember it was for you he did this. Do, he says, this is my body which is broken for you. And when you take, as it were, that, you remember the word here for us, mercies. You did not deserve it. The Hebrew word for mercies is the Hebrew word hesed. And it's that one-sided love commitment that God has for you like you have for your own child. You will love them no matter what. It may not be always be in fellowship, but you will love them no matter what. They will always be your child. Your heart will always be wrapped up in that child because you love them. And that's the kind of love He represents for you. You may not always be in fellowship, but He loves you. His heart is wrapped up in you. God is a God that is emotionally crying over Jerusalem as He comes in on the Palm Sunday. He's a God who cries out through the prophets and says, Hosea, go marry a woman of harlotries and let her break your heart and you'll know what I feel. My heart is broken when my people don't love me back. Broken. Because of our sin. Broken. Because of our insolence and our impudence of face. Because of our pride that says, I got this. Broken. But that's not where the story ends. Goodness. And the word goodness just means the plentifulness of goodness. And when you come to the cup and you see the fruit of the vine, I want you to understand what we see in the fruit of the vine is that the Bible tells us all things are yours. The Bible says, you, in fact, beloved, today, if you know Jesus, you will judge the angels. Who are you people? Blows the mind, doesn't it? Who are you? How amazing. David said, as for your saints, they're the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. You guys are somebody. And it's not because you deserve to be, it's because He made it so. He says in Psalm 4, He says, you have made put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine did increase. So when we take of the fruit of the vine, realize that that's the symbol of happiness and joy. A finished and accomplished harvest, a finished and accomplished work. He saves to the uttermost, and now we just get in on all the good stuff. But it doesn't end there either, does it? He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what does he say in 1 Corinthians 11? It says, this do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For in the day when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death, what? Till he comes. Guess what? He's coming. And he who will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And when you come back in the church on a given Sunday and you get your spirit eyes back screwed in a little bit straighter and you begin to see a little bit clearer and you begin to realize it just over yonder, we get to rule and reign with Him. you begin to be ennobled to live a little bit more in the paths of righteousness. Don't tell him, I got this. Confess this morning as we come that I got nothing. And you'll enter in the right spirit. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.